Earlier this month, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed off on legislation designed to make it easier for veterans to access state parks and facilities as part of a broader effort aimed at smoothing the transition to civilian life. To discuss the newly enacted law and the benefits of nature for veterans, we spoke to Aaron Leonard, a member of the Sierra Club's Atlantic chapter and a 2014 retiree of the U.S. Army after 27 years of service, where he reached the rank of lieutenant colonel. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
So the new law requires the state to review any obstacles veterans might face in terms of accessing state parks, lands, and facilities. Are there unique roadblocks for veterans compared to the rest of New Yorkers? And if so, what are they?
I think first we have to look at the current military-civilian divide, which is essentially a misunderstanding between non-veterans and veterans. In particular, the unique nature of serving in the military it eventually results in issues where veterans are transitioning back into the communities they may have come from, but they don't feel that they can effectively communicate what they've experienced while serving in the military with those folks that they're now going to be living and working with. During that transitional period, veterans often find solace within natural environments. Unfortunately, many veterans suffer from some of the what we would call the signature wounds of the post-9/11 wars, which result or manifest in both physical and emotional illnesses and injuries. And it's those emotional illnesses in particular, especially when connected to anxiety or depression or manifesting as post-traumatic stress disorder, that may cause many veterans to begin a substance abuse cycle or avoid leaving their homes or communities or not being able to find any desire or will to explore outside of their own homes or outside of their own requirement for work or family life. Those barriers are greater than what is found within the civilian population. As a matter of fact, the veteran population typically has twice the rate of emotional illness at any given time in their life after leaving the service. So I do believe that the barriers that veterans face in accessing are largely found within their inability to enjoy life like many Americans might.
So then how do you go about implementing the changes in New York that will make it easier for veterans to access these parks and lands if the problems are things like substance abuse and mental health needs? It seems like, you know, that's a very expensive and ambitious proposition that's much more complicated than, you know, providing a ride to a veteran to a park.
It can be, but I don't believe that it has to be an expensive or complicated process. I'll give you an example from the Bronx VA system. The Bronx has around 30 or 28,000 veterans in the county and has more patients at the Bronx VA than veterans who reside in the county in Bronx County. Because obviously it draws from Westchester County as well and some of the other surrounding communities. So within that Bronx population, as we were preparing to argue for this bill to be passed through the Assembly and Senate in New York almost 2 years ago, we interviewed veterans at the Bronx, over 200 of them, asking them specifically what it is that they would like to do or would they be interested in participating in any type of outdoor activities. Now, understand that the nature of these interviews primarily had us interviewing veterans who were at the hospital itself for some type of mental health treatment. So we were interviewing patients at the Bronx that were likely working on healing from a mental health illness or injury. 99% of the veterans we interviewed said that they would absolutely spend time in a structured environment outdoors with other veterans. 60% of them said that they could not do so in the past year because of different barriers. That included financial and transportation barriers, but it primarily was prevented through educational or through barriers that can be resolved through education. So even though they were reluctant to step outside their home, they would do so if they were in what they felt would be an emotionally safe and a physically safe environment, meaning going outdoors with their peers. So when we offer these veterans through the Sierra Club Military Outdoors programs an opportunity to leave their apartments or their neighborhoods and spend time in the natural world with their peers, they feel that that's going to be an emotionally and physically safe environment, they will go out and do that. And the effects from that alone can be observed as fairly monumental. I have seen veterans from the Bronx who were really reluctant to trust anybody, any organization that was offering them anything, start to participate regularly in monthly types of outdoor activities to the extent that they self-reported reductions in their own mental health symptoms and reductions in the medications that they were taking to counter those symptoms or those diagnoses of anxiety or depression.
In terms of implementation and outreach, are there certain populations within the state's veteran population that you think should be especially targeted for help when it comes to this effort to make the parks more accessible?
I think the largest need is found within marginalized populations. So if we go into the urban environments and we work with members of the BIPOC community who are also veterans, I think we'll find that it is less likely that those folks have had an opportunity to explore and enjoy the great parks and public lands that New York has to offer. And I think it's through our efforts in those communities that we are able to develop the practices that are most effective and also effective across the rest of the populations in the state.
After almost three decades in the military, what does it mean to you to be able to spend time in the outdoors?
Oh, that's a you could write a book about that, David. For Veterans Day, I took a few Vietnam vets backpacking. And during the pandemic, of course, the outdoor fields as a whole have to approach things like that in a different light. So practicing the different social distancing and mitigation techniques that we've been taught in New York was easy to implement, and we were still able to enjoy that experience together. But when you're able to disconnect from technology your daily life and to get away from the city and to get to a place where you can see stars from one horizon to the next, it brings, for me personally, a great sense of calming. My decision to retire from the military was purely founded within the work that I do now in helping other veterans to find ways to get outside, even if only for a few hours in a day, and to learn how to be mindful in that approach and to really treasure those experiences.
What was that experience like for the veterans you went with on Veterans Day?
Very positive. We know from our own studies that if I had interviewed the folks that I was with, and that wasn't the point of the trip, of course, I would have observed a reduction in their anxiety and an increase in their sense of belonging. Studies that we've conducted on our own community-based outdoors programs will tell us that. My observations are that we were able to interact as peers, tell stories about our time in the service in a positive light, connect on an emotional and almost a spiritual level with each other that allows for a lasting friendship. I am as close to some of the veterans who I've spent as little as 3 days in the wilderness with as I am to my fellow colleagues in the military who I served in combat environments for up to a year.
There's obviously a lot of different outdoor experiences that you can have in New York across the Adirondack Park, the Catskill Parks, and other natural resources. Is there anything in particular that you think is beneficial for a veteran, or does it all depend on their own personal experiences and their own personal interests?
I think that veterans, just like any other citizen in the state, should be introduced to the possibilities first. A lot of folks report that they just don't know what there is that they could go do. They don't know how to get there, and they definitely don't know what to do when they get there. There's cultural barriers that exist within communities where they're told that's not something that we do. That's something that white people do. That's a common theme that I pick up from veterans, especially members of the BIPOC community and marginalized communities, which is really both unfortunate and obviously something that we can do much better at. And what I like to communicate in our educational outreach, and what I would advocate for the state to do in the future, is to begin by sharing what is right outside their door in what we call nearby nature. You don't have to travel to the Adirondacks to find a healing place to go. You could travel right outside your door and down the street and be mindful of that experience within a local park in the city or in your community and still have the benefits from that exposure. And I would also share with them that it's not just an individual endeavor, but it's also a social endeavor. There's a lot to be said about examining a veteran's social health and what they do or don't do with family and friends. And once you start bringing veterans together in a social environment, we often see that they're more inspired to return and relive that experience, even if the natural environment they're in is nothing more than a city park that they were able to walk to from their front door.
What about helping service-disabled veterans, especially those, you know, who have a tough time getting into places because they have issues with their legs? How do you envision that problem being addressed moving forward?
Oh, that's another good question. So at the Sierra Club, we focus a lot of our efforts on creating what we call inclusive outings. And an inclusive outing is one that has identified and mitigated all the different barriers that people might have to accessing nature, whether by themselves, with friends or family, or in a structured program that might be offered by an organization. So an inclusive program identifies helps us to design outings or outdoor experiences that are accessible by everyone, regardless of their physical ability, regardless of their age. As an example, 50% of the veteran population is age 65 or over. That indicates that an enormously large population of veterans are out there that may not be interested in going backpacking or rock climbing or any of the other adventurous activities that people often connect to nature. So what we advocate for is rethinking what it means to spend time in the natural world and what those types of activities could be, so that when you are working with a physically or emotionally disabled veteran, you're able to design programs that they would be willing to participate in. And one way we do that, David, is we go into the community that we're working with, and we invite that community to be part of our planning process. So instead of offering a bunch of outings or outdoor activities to a group of people, we create that outdoor activity for that group of people so that they have a vote and a say and a final decision on what it is that we're going to do. In the past, I've created, or our program has created outdoor activities that are for veterans who have sight disabilities. So in those cases, you're really needing to have those folks part of that planning process to design how would they like to engage in the outdoors and how can we make that happen. And the state itself, getting back to Outdoor RX, we have an opportunity to examine all the different parks and public lands and the different agencies in the state of New York and how we could do a better job creating these spaces and these places that increase the opportunities for folks with physical disabilities to access.
Well, we've been speaking with Aaron Leonard. He is a member of the Sierra Club's Atlantic chapter, who retired from the U.S. Army in 2014 after 27 years of service and reached the rank of lieutenant colonel. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time and for your service and for your dedication to this cause.
Thank you, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.